So the paradox here is that steel is really critical to economic growth and decarbonization and kind of development of green technologies. But at the same time, it's a hard to abate sector. It has a large operational scope one footprint. But then when you take a supply chain, value chain perspective, it's even greater than we initially thought.
Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar, Executive Director of Media at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to the traditional custodians of country and elders past and present. In this episode, we're diving into a fascinating and honestly quite critical topic, the steel paradox of investing in a decarbonized future. Steel is responsible for a significant share of global emissions, yet it's also absolutely essential for building the green technologies we need for net zero. To help us unpack this, we're joined by Sue Lynn Stubbs, Associate Director in Sustainable Investing at Fidelity International. Sue Lynn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Michelle, and thank you for the opportunity to be on The Greener Way to share more about our steel methane investor initiative.
To start with, tell us who you are and what your role is at Fidelity International.
Yeah, so I'm an associate director in the sustainable investing team at Fidelity International based in Sydney, Australia. So I'm in the stewardship and research team. So that's very much encompassing, you know, engaging with companies, research around investment, kind of critical investment decision-making for sustainability, and then also sustainability integration with our investment team. So those are kind of my key focus areas. And on top of that, doing more engagement deep dives, which is where this steel methane investor initiative really fits in and our focus on the steel value chain and its emissions profile.
And I kind of just dropped it at the intro that this is the steel paradox, but people are going, what? So for listeners who are new to this topic, can you walk us through what this means exactly?
So when we talked about a steel paradox, I guess it's from two lenses. The first one was really around the fact that, you know, steel is so critical to our economies, to economic growth and development across so many nations. On top of that, it's also critical for renewable energy technologies. Steel is really a critical material that we need to kind of scale and build renewable technologies, whether it's, you know, wind, EVs, et cetera. So from a demand perspective, steel is critical for growth and also decarbonization. On top of that, what we're focusing on from a paradox perspective is that right now, a lot of investors are very focused on the operational emissions from steel. You know, steel contributes to 8% of, you know, energy systems emissions across the globe. And so it's a hard to abate sector. It's very emissions intensive. So investors are very focused from that operational perspective. But what we highlighted and through research we found and analysis from Ember was that when you actually take a step back and look at the value chain and you look up at upstream emissions from the extraction of metallurgical coal, which is a key input into steel production, that's when you realize that there's actually more emissions that you need to be across. So the paradox here is that steel is really critical to economic growth and decarbonization and kind of development of green technologies. But at the same time, it's a hard to abate sector. It has a large operational scope one footprint. But then when you take a supply chain, value chain perspective, it's even greater than we initially thought.
Now, you mentioned the steel value chain. So I understand this. It's almost like you need to have it, but you don't want it kind of thing. But the steel value chain, so from miners to manufacturers to end users, and you talked about overall emissions, what kind of financial risks and opportunities are starting to emerge as we kind of have to really deal with this?
So when we looked at the analysis and kind of understanding where the emissions sit across the value chain, that's when we realized that there's actually a lot of oversight and kind of what's an overlooked risk, financial risk, from the extraction of metallurgical coal. So analysis from Ember shows that when you extract metallurgical coal, it releases methane from that extraction piece, and it can add anywhere between 20 to 30% emissions to the steel value chain footprint. So that's material. It's almost a third, right?
Yes.
And so from a financial risk perspective, our view is that, you know, for metallurgical coal companies, increasingly there'll be a financial risk to understand what their emissions profile is from a methane perspective. And why is this growing? The first reason is really because we're better understanding methane emissions and how kind of that verification and transparency piece. So there's more satellite technology that's actually picking up methane emissions and actually getting more accurate measurements. And then on top of that, we're seeing more kind of regulatory developments across the globe. So in Australia, there's been a lot more movement under the Australian Safeguard Mechanism, both at the federal and state level around methane emissions. And then in Europe, we have the European Methane Regulation. So what we're starting to see is much more focus from many countries on methane emissions and what that means for their countries, for their emissions targets, and how they're seeking to reduce methane emissions. So that's why we're starting to see this financial liability increase for a lot of those metallurgical coal players in the steel value chain.
Now that we know that there is this X percent of extra emissions that we've overlooked as investors, and I say we because super funds really touch millions of Australians, so we're all in this. Tell me, what does it mean though to be an investor? Are you saying you want more information from companies, or are there new technologies that you can use to lower those emissions? Where are we in this journey?
Fantastic question. And I think it is earlier days. So let me take a step back and kind of describe why methane is so important. So methane has a much higher global warming potential than carbon dioxide. It's 84 times more potent than carbon dioxide in a 20-year timeframe. So its global warming potential and impact on climate change is much higher. And on top of that, it has a shorter atmospheric lifetime of only 12 years, which means if you abate methane, you can actually have a faster and bigger impact on climate change and global warming than, let's say, kind of abating CO2. Mm-hmm. So what we're finding is that a lot of countries are focusing more on methane because it's kind of this low-hanging fruit mm-hmm. and a really good lever to mitigate the impacts of climate change and a focus for investors and companies and the governments alike. I guess you could say, you know, governments will be increasingly focused on methane and investors should be focused on methane because it's more in our investment horizons as well because of that shorter atmospheric lifetime. So in some ways, as we invest in methane abatement, it actually helps us to reduce methanes in a more timely fashion.
Now going to ground zero, let's talk about Australian mining companies. How are they being affected as steel producers, beginning to adopt lower carbon technologies, but also rethinking about their methane emissions? Is that the way to say it? I mean, a lot of people have exposure to mining companies because of their Superfund investments, for example.
100%. And so I guess we saw this as twofold. So when we think about steel decarbonization and we think about the role that Australia plays in kind of steel production, iron ore and metallurgical coal, which are key inputs into steel production, first of all, what we found when we were engaging with iron ore players is that green steel technologies are taking much longer than we initially hoped for. Mm. I think a lot of investors on the call were quite hopeful for, you know, hydrogen DRI, EAF scrap, some of these emerging technologies. And I think we thought they would scale and accelerate much faster than they have and slash what we're seeing kind of the outlook for green steel. And so in some ways, our view was that obviously we still need to encourage and push for green steel development and kind of green steel technologies. But at the same time, we need to be pragmatic and understand that there still will be that dependency on metallurgical coal. And so therefore, when you're thinking about when investors are looking at their portfolios and they're looking at their holdings across steel and metallurgical coal, this is where it's very important to focus on methane abatement at the same time as encouraging kind of green steel development and production. If you look at some of the IEA net zero projections to where steel production will be, what is the kind of breakdown between green technologies versus traditional technologies out to 2050, 40% of steel production is still with the kind of that traditional technology. And so there still will be that dependency on metallurgical coal, which will still generate methane emissions. So our view is that if you own metallurgical coal stocks or you own steel companies in Australia, then you have to be aware of this methane risk across your portfolio. And therefore, you have to seek to mitigate it as we still seek to decarbonize the steel value chain and kind of pursue those green steel technologies.
That is a challenge, and I hope super funds are accepting this challenge and mining companies are accepting this challenge. Just a random question. If they have to chew gum and walk at the same time, how does that impact their profitability? Is there a way that this can be a win-win for investors where operationally it's adding expense, but it adds to the share premium if they're saying, hey, we're doing something about methane right now?
Great question. I think, you know, as I described, what we're seeing from that financial liability perspective is that regulation that's really starting to bite. So we're hearing some metallurgical coal companies talk about the safeguard mechanism, which is sort of our version of a cap and trade model in Australia, where we're actually starting to price carbon and price methane emissions. And what we've seen is that there has been an improvement in measurement of methane over the last few years. So some of these metallurgical coal companies are realizing our exposure is much higher than we originally thought, and therefore our financial liability is higher. So from that perspective, it is a cost, it is an impact. Having said that, what we are seeing is that, you know, there are funding models out there, and the government is trying to support first-of-kind technology development, you know, abatement solutions. So for example, in Queensland, there is a fund that has $500 million. It's called the Low Emissions Investment Partnership. It's out there really trying to help miners and support them with first-of-kind technologies for methane abatement, both in underground and open-cut mines. So the government is seeking to support these types of models and kind of really trying to support that methane abatement piece. So I think our view when we've been engaging with companies is very much, you know, we know this is a emerging risk for metallurgical coal players. There is funding out there. There are supporting kind of dynamics at play. Get on the front foot, you know, seek to understand your methane emissions profile, seek to start implementing the technologies where you can, where you have funding support, and really be ahead of the curve before, you know, one kind of measurement improves, more stakeholders are across this, and kind of regulatory kind of expectations increase through time. And so that's how we've been really engaging from a systems level approach on this. We understand that companies alone can't make the full change. They need support. So we've been engaging with companies, governments, both at the federal and state level, but then we've also been engaging with technology providers, funding solutions, industry experts, because we know this needs to be kind of an ecosystem solution, not just only on the companies themselves. We know this is a hard to abate issue. We know it's not simple. It won't happen overnight. So how do we connect the dots? And what role as investors can we play to kind of support that development for better methane abatement and better kind of management of this future financial risk as well?
So there's a lot to do and it is quite complex. But as one of the largest fund managers in the world, 5-10 years from now, do you see a premium or a discount towards mining companies that have better methane abatement policies or projects than those who aren't? Because ultimately, investors really want to see, is my portfolio going up or down based on my call on this issue?
I think inevitably what we will see is that because of regulation, so for example, with the EU methane regulation, they have expectations on measurement and verification of methane, and they have expectations on your threshold of your methane intensity of the imports of metallurgical coal. So in some ways, if your metallurgical coal doesn't meet that threshold, you can't export to Europe, right? So that's a huge market that you can't export to. So inevitably, companies that are not mitigating their methane, not understanding their methane profile, will then be impacted by their ability to trade with other markets. And I think for Australia, why this is so important is that we are the largest exporter of metallurgical coal. We are 46% of the metallurgical coal export market. And therefore, in some ways, this is important from not only a climate and kind of methane emissions perspective, but it's also critical from an economy perspective and how this impacts, you know, future growth, et cetera, from a GDP perspective. And so in some ways, 100%, I think, you know, this will impact whether metallurgical coal miners can export their production if they're able to, you know, secure and ensure that they have those trade partner and contracts. What we're also seeing is that steel players are starting to focus on this. We know in Japan and Korea, there are high-level discussions on understanding methane in the supply chain. So inevitably, this will start to be part of trade discussion, contracts between steel and metallurgical coal miners. So my view is that inevitably, this will start to impact operations and the ability to sell coal from Australia to our kind of partner, trade partners for steel production.
Well said. An extra bonus points for saying metallurgical coal miners like 10, 12 times and say it perfectly. The stakes are high, especially for Australia. So once again, Sulin, thank you so much for your time. You did mention earlier on that there is an initiative. So what is that initiative and why should investors care?
So we have created the Steel Methane Investor Initiative, which is a small group of superannuation funds and asset managers who are focused on this issue. Like I said, we've been engaging with companies, governments, and also, you know, industry experts. But on top of that, we've been engaging with the UNEP IMEO's Steel Methane Program. And so what this is basically a framework for metallurgical coal players to better understand their measurement and verification of methane, but it also maps out an abatement structure that is critical to, you know, reach, you know, energy transition and decarbonization outcomes. It's very similar to the OGMP 2.0, which is the Oil and Gas Methane Partnership. We've seen that be very successful in the oil and gas space. So what we thought is, if this is great if we could replicate and take some of the learnings from the oil and gas sector, from a framework, from a corporate initiative perspective, and bring this to the metallurgical coal mine sector. So we're really keen for investors to kind of engage with UNEP IMEO, get better awareness of this, and hopefully have more of an established launch of this program and get more companies signed up to this so that we can have kind of replicate some of the successes that we saw in oil and gas to the metallurgical coal mine methane sector, but then also into steel and what that means for such a hard to abate sector that is critical for future growth and decarbonization as well.
Well, if you're listening to this and you want to know more, we will include some links in our show notes about the Steel Paradox paper and also about this initiative. Once again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you so much.
This is The Greener Way. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Thank you for listening.
The Greener Way podcast is a product of FS Sustainability. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment guests. It is not intended as a substitute for financial decision. You should read the product disclosure statement. Try that again. Before making any... For more information, head to the disclaimer page on FS Sustainability website. Blah, blah.